What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bros Before Rose. I'm Alex Toy.
I'm Alan Moss.
And it's time to get horny.
Ooh, and we are in the city of horniness.
Oh, we're in the city of horniness.
The mecca of it's Horntown, USA.
It's a third joke. I didn't
Viva Las Horny.
I think that gives away where we are. We're in Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby, of course. So
a classic joke from that movie that Vince Vaughn is in.
Vince Vaughn or...
Swingers, right?
I was thinking of The Hangover, which Vince Vaughn is not in.
He is not in, but he's in one of those.
But it takes place in Vegas.
That's right. Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. I'm thinking also of Kimmy Schmidt, of like when the when Cindy's like fiance was pretending to be a straight man when he was clearly gay, and he's listing things he likes.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are some of your hobbies? Oh, you know, Coors... Sports, and of course, Vegas, baby.
Oh, that's very good. That's very, very good.
So that's where we are.
We are in the horny town, USA.
Vegas, baby. This joke went on too long.
Yeah.
But we are... So we open with Becca. Just walking through the streets of Las Vegas. And she's talking about how last week was pretty hard on her.
It was pretty hard on all of us.
I think it was pretty hard on all of us.
We had to watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
But she had to live it.
And here's, I think we should throw this out. We're back in the same room again.
Thank God.
I don't have to be at work in an hour.
Isn't that great? Yeah, we don't feel rushed.
We're not rushed. Perfect. We can relax.
It's like fresh after watching the episode. We're bringing you our best, our A game.
We can get horny now.
Yes, finally.
Last episode just wasn't horny.
No, it wasn't.
The episode before that, I'm still mad because Powerade never got us our check. But I'm just making a statement.
That's the last one
we're gonna bring up Powerade until we get our money.
Fine. Okay. Good. I feel like one more time and we are getting sued.
We're so close to getting sued by Powerade.
We're very close.
But now we're back. We're back in action. We got Becca in Vegas. We got fresh dates to get to. We get a montage of the boys going to their hotel, which is a nice fucking hotel.
Yeah, we all had that reaction.
Yeah, I thought they were in the lobby.
Damn. Yeah, that's right. I'm like, no, dude, that's their fucking
suite. This is their
suite.
Fucking room.
Yeah, and it's overlooking the whole strip.
Yeah.
Giant windows. There's just a staircase in the middle that just leads up to this other balcony. Like, there's a pool table in there.
Yeah, there's a gym.
There's a gym in there, too. Like, holy shit. We need to go to Vegas.
We need to go to Vegas, baby.
Thank you,
Vegas, baby.
Use its Christian
name. Use the Christian name, please. So the boys are checking out their room when Becca shows up on the balcony,
and then they're checking her out,
and then they're checking out Becca.
Yeah.
And Becca takes on the role that Chris Harrison usually fills.
That's right. Chris Harrison doesn't greet them. That was weird.
It was very jarring.
Yeah, it was.
Because
I wasn't sure how to process it, really.
Becca's the one who explains, yeah, so there's going to be dates this week. You know how this show works.
Yeah.
We're shuffling things around this
week.
Was
Chris sick? Like, did we get confirmation? Like, what
I don't know. I'll check his Twitter account.
Yeah, we need to check that.
Because honestly, he probably mentioned it if there was a reason.
Everyone? I didn't fall out of a bed. There was traffic.
Maybe he was busy filming Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe.
That would be dumb on their part to like make those like coincide.
Yeah, isn't Millionaire on CBS?
I think so.
Yeah, they're different channels.
Yeah.
Do you think CBS and ABC are just constantly fighting each other for Harrison time?
Oh, it's like, listen, why did you get him a cotton candy? I told you not to get Chris a cotton candy. He always has nightmares when there's a cotton candy. Look, I don't care about it, all right? We wanted to have a fun time. He wanted some cotton candy. I let him get some. Will you deal with it, CBS? Listen, ABC, all I'm saying is I have to deal with him tonight. You don't have to deal
Why
with
him. Why is he so tired? Are you letting him stay up all night again?
Did you let him see Goofy? Did you let him see Goofy at Disney World?
You know he can't handle Goofy. He loves Goofy too much. Give Harrison back to us now.
That's our one big bang joke for this episode. I'm okay that we used it now.
Yep, let's get it out of the way. So Beck is so this week things are shuffled. We got a group date. We have a one-on-one date, and we've got the fabled two-on-one.
Ta-da!
Now, We're all pretty certain who's going on this 2-on-1.
Oh, I've never been more certain.
I think
in
you said
life.
It in like episode 2.
I called. I was like, it's 2-on-1.
Yeah. But let's go through this chronologically as we do on this show. First things first is we've got a date card.
Sure.
It's a 1-on-1 date.
1-on-1.
We're starting with a 1-on-1 date card, and it says Colton, let's ride off into the sunset.
Beautiful.
So my immediate reaction is
horse date. You and I was like, and I didn't make that connection at first. I wasn't paying attention to it. So I was like, I realized now hearing it again, I'm like, how the fuck didn't I know this?
And,
might have been something
and
like that.
Have we had a horse date yet this season?
No,
we haven't had a horse date yet.
So we still haven't.
So we get a brief montage of Colton in a limo driving.
Of course, talking about like, I'm so glad to put this Tia stuff behind me because you have to mention it once.
Because you have to mention his like weekend with Tia.
His tryst.
Yeah.
Good word.
Very good word.
Thank you.
Hey, you someone's doing well in the SAT.
You damn right.
They drive past the Virgin River because, of course, we can't forget that Colton's a virgin.
Right. Okay. Occasionally, the producers of this show get things very right.
Yeah.
And this was a moment that they did.
This was a moment
they
got
right.
They
drive past the Virgin River, and the producers are like, hey, let's remind everyone that Colton's a virgin. And let's make fun of him, because it's fucking hilarious.
Especially because now we can't talk about Ashley I anymore.
Right, yeah. But like, fucking, remember the Colton's a virgin? Let's zoom in where it says Virgin River and make fun of him. fucking Colton. That's definitely, like, that's what
they
said.
No, that's definitely what they're doing there. So they pull up
It was very funny. I will give them that.
Yeah. So the limo pulls up in like a desert, and Becca's there wearing some short overalls.
Yeah, is there a real name for them?
I don't know. We were arguing about it in the bar about like shoveralls, shorteralls,
shorteralls.
I'm still just standing by.
Someone said the actual name, and I don't know what they are. Listeners, if you know what they are, tweet at us. Let us know.
Tweet at us at one of our individual Twitter accounts because we don't have a Twitter account for this podcast yet.
It's coming.
I know we keep saying that, but I'm really worried about making a Twitter account for this podcast when someone else already exists with this podcast name.
We'll deal with this later.
Well, this seems like a very huge later problem.
Yeah. this is future Alan and Alex problem.
That's a problem for future us. So Becca's wearing her short overalls, and there are some animals sitting behind her. They're not horses.
They aren't horses.
They're camels.
Camels.
We're
Which
going
was like,
it's
ooh,
a
curveball camel day.
More like a hump ball.
Oh! Gotten horny.
Getting hornier. Camels, humps, humping.
But those lovely camel humps.
Get it?
Okay, this has gone on too long.
So they ride camels. That's where we are. They ride camels.
Yeah. So they get like a nice like camel drawn.
They're just riding camels.
Camelback riding.
Can we talk about something real quick? I have ridden a camel before, and I wanted to
you
share
actually
that.
Have ridden a camel before?
Yes.
You didn't mention that at the bar.
Huh? No, I didn't. Because someone else was already talking about how she'd ridden a camel before, and I didn't want to be that guy. Be like, I've ridden a camel too, you know. Like, I didn't want to be that guy.
Oh yeah. Well, great for you. Okay.
And here's the thing.
You know what? Good on you.
Right.
Good on you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
And also, I didn't ride the camel. I didn't ride the camel very far.
Okay.
Because
you fell off.
I didn't fall off.
Okay, thank
that,
God.
I fell off a horse and I broke my arm. Different story.
Oh, Jesus.
Camels camels stand up and sit down in very strange ways.
I've seen that, yeah.
So when I was on a camel, I was 16 years old, and this was in India. I'm getting on this camel, and as this camel's getting up, something, like, in the motion of it getting up, like, pulled a muscle in my ass, and, like...
You pulled a glute?
I pulled a glute, yeah.
While not moving.
Well, like the camel pulled my glute, and, like, that sounds very... kind of sexual.
Camel
like, it sounds
glute.
Very aggressively
yeah.
sexual. It sounds like I was assaulted by a camel. I wasn't.
Oh, gross.
But, yeah, so I didn't make it very far on the camel. After, like, a couple feet, I'm like, I need to get off this thing.
my butt!
Yeah, I was in a lot of butt pain.
Oh, shit, dude, I'm sorry.
So, I have ridden a camel, not very far.
Good story, though.
Yeah, I thought that was a good story, and I wanted to share it.
So, they don't ride one very far, either.
They don't ride one very far, either, because it looks as though Becca or Colton has inherited Peter's latent superpower.
Actually, they killed him and devoured him.
Well, he doesn't have a soul anymore after Chris Harrison.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They devoured his body.
Yeah.
And Chris Harrison was just like, I give you this.
So,
like, he put the power into Becca.
So Peter was a front runner on Rachel's season of The Bachelorette last year. And on more than one occasion, Peter and Rachel would be having a conversation, and then just all of a sudden they'd be in a hot tub making out.
Yeah, yeah, so, just like, they're just in it, and they're, and it's, whatever.
So Peter, the only conclusion I could ever come to is that Peter had the mysterious ability to conjure hot tubs.
Yeah.
And this ability has appeared again, either in Becca or Colton, and
there
after riding this,
one.
After riding a camel for a short distance, a hot tub emerges.
You know what I would love it if they actually made a dramatic entrance for the hot tub, like
rises out of the sand.
Yeah, and there's dry ice all over, and it's just da 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 da, and it just like comes out, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah,
I'd love that.
So here's one thing though: was Colton prepared for a hot tub?
I feel he had to be, because they just had like his swimming trunks there.
Were those swimming trunks or were those just boxers? Because they were kind of on the short side.
I don't know. I didn't get enough of a look at them to be like, yeah, that's what he did.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention.
Okay, boxers are essentially swimming.
No,
trunks.
I know, but like, I mean, not if they're like cotton. Like those will hold the water.
Oh,
you're gonna chafe.
Yeah, you're gonna.
If you don't have Gold Bond, you're gonna have a bad day.
Meanwhile,
Becca's fucking ready with her.
Yeah, you're gonna be
with her like
boy.
Floral print bathing suit under the short overalls.
Yeah,
like Becca was ready for this. This should have been a tip off to Colton. Of like, oh boy, I'm about to have to get wet, aren't I? Don't laugh at that. I'm talking about the hot tub. I'm talking about a hot tub right now.
Because it does get horny.
Oh God, it does get horny. They're in the hot tub.
Horny.
They're talking about like how happy things are going.
He's glad that they put stuff behind them.
And they still talk. They still bring up Tia. I'd say at least one too many times.
Yeah, like at this point, just
fucking stop bringing her up.
Shut the fuck up. Talk about anything else. Just talk about anything else.
Okay.
No, not you. That isn't a shut up at you.
No, I know.
I'm saying as if I was there with them.
Yeah.
Like directing their date, and I'd be like, hey, stop it.
Just be in the hot tub with like a snorkel and just like slowly rise up. Hey. Talk about something else.
No one cares. Okay, bye. I'm going to be down here. That's so creepy. It's just one of the producers is just always down there to like, hey.
Talk about something else.
Hey, no, this is bad television. I'm gonna make a petition right now that just to have like okay, remember that episode of Scrubs where there's the opera guy who sings Mistake?
Yeah.
I want that person in The Bachelor. That every time someone's about to do something dumb, Mistake, stop it, and then they walk off. That's their whole job. I think that'd be money well spent. I would support that job.
Yeah.
Look at me creating jobs in this economy.
Very good for you, man.
Yeah,
the mistake thing, though, that always just brings me back to the office. We've had the AC going on this whole time, haven't we?
We absolutely have.
Could you turn it off so we don't have any
background
noise? Cool. I just want to make sure we got that clean sound coming at us.
No, I think that's good.
Every time that we talk about mistake, I always think of the office, of the Japanese guy in the warehouse. Who talks about how he killed the Yakuza boss doing heart surgery on him. But mistake! Yakuza boss died! he's very good. So Becca, they talk about how relaxed she feels with Colton. They get some wet smooching in the hot tub.
They smooch hard.
They're hard smooching. If I found out that there was a little friskiness going on in that hot tub,
I wouldn't have been surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Dude, they were in it to win it. Becca is horny for Colton.
She is so horny.
And that's why Colton hasn't been sent home yet.
Exactly.
I think after all of the Tia and
if she
and
wasn't
bullshit,
like super into Colton, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
Because he had drama that really shook her at the beginning.
Yeah, and then she's like, he's so hot.
Yeah, so he's still around. So now we move on to dinner time, and there's not a whole lot at dinner. There is one part that I like. Colton talks about how he feels like he's really only ever been in love once.
They kind of had a nice moment.
They had a nice moment, and they talk about...
I feel like he wanted to say Tia. I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like that's who he's actually talking about.
Do it really? Do you not think it, and they only little, spend like a,
I
they,
know. I
he
know.
Was,
it just,
he was talking about like a relationship.
I know. It just felt like he was like. It felt like he was skirting around that topic because he thought it could go that way.
Yeah.
It was like.
Like,
ugh.
I don't love
I don't
Colton,
know.
And, like, I want him to, like, fuck up and get sent home. But, like, he's also, like...
He's doing fine.
He's doing fine. Like, whatever. But he talks about how he's only been in love once. And he talks about how, like, because
like,
of
yeah.
that, he's very wary of telling women he's with that he's in love with them. Or that he's or even that he's falling in love
so
with them.
This
which,
is a typical time.
Yeah. So, and this harkens back to Jean Blanc last episode, who made the crucial mistake of saying, I'm falling for you.
In week
four. Week four. But now it's week five.
So you're like, that's when like, that's when the producers like give you the okay. It's like, okay.
Now
you,
it's okay
you can
to
start
say
feeling
this.
Love.
Yeah.
If you feel love in week four and you're an idiot.
But here's the thing.
Get out.
Here's the thing. And this is where I think Colton wins. This is where I think Colton did a very good job.
And
he
I'm,
talked yeah. about how hard that is for him. How hard it is for him to say that he is falling in love with someone, that he is in love with somebody.
Yeah.
And he didn't, like, use that, and he didn't milk it, and he didn't say it to Becca.
That's where I get, yeah, that's where I think we both acknowledge, like, oh, he threw us off. Because usually,
usually,
when someone
it's leading
this,
up to that.
It's leading up to, like, so I don't usually say this, but now I'm going to say
yeah.
it.
But he didn't say it. And I, like, honestly, like, I give him, I have a
and
like,
I think that's what made Becca have a bigger connection to.
Yeah.
She, like, just grabs his face.
Yeah.
And
he
like,
does, like,
smooch time.
He does admit it off, like, not to Becca. Like, he says it in, like, a talking head
interview.
He says
he's starting to feel it.
He's starting to feel
it. He still doesn't say it. He still
yeah.
doesn't say it. And I was like, cool. Like,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
But like,
I think it was good. He talks
it definitely worked well.
I think it worked out. He talks about his struggle, and he didn't, like, I think he will overcome that, and I think he will eventually tell Becca how he feels, but he didn't, like, sort of tell his sob story and then use it
as a way to
get that rose. I, like, he played that unconventionally, but very well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even I feel like I want to accuse Colton of just playing the game.
Yeah.
Because of what's happened so far. And,
yeah.
And everything that's kind of like.
But this felt very genuine.
This felt
to
very
me.
Genuine.
This felt
so I'm
very
not going
to
say it's just playing the game. I think it's playing the game the right way. Like doing it because, like, that's what I'm, how I'm feeling. Because
at the end of the day, I feel like everyone is playing the game.
Yes.
But if you're
yes.
playing the game and I can't tell, as someone who watches this
right.
show,
right.
takes notes and records a podcast on it every week, then you're doing a good job.
Thank you. That you clarified exactly what I was going
yeah.
with. Thank you very much.
So meanwhile, during this date, another date card shows up.
Yeah.
It is the group date card. And
who's on it?
Who's on it? I know I missed a couple names. But it is for
everyone other than the other two.
Yeah. So it's for Wills, Garrett, John, Connor, Leo, Lincoln, Jason, Chris, Blake, and anyone else I missed who isn't David or Jordan.
Yeah, I think you basically got it all.
I think I got it all. I may have missed, like, some... I don't know. Whatever.
No, I really don't think you missed anyone.
Hot damn.
I'm taking
notes live, and that's hard.
No, I'm honestly thinking, like, I don't think you missed anyone, but if you did, it's just anyone who isn't Jordan or
yeah.
David.
Yeah. So this confirms... So at this point, where it's confirmed Jordan versus David is our
two-on-one
date.
Two men enter.
One man leaves... which just reminds me of Crystal's fucking monologuing. God, I miss Kendall so much.
Oh,
God.
I can't believe... I still can't fucking believe the shit... Okay, look, guys. We're just gonna take a quick detour here. Still, I can't fucking believe, after all that bullshit, they made Kendall have to do a two-on-one with Crystal.
It was...
Fucking
here's the thing,
Kendall.
Here's the thing. It was the... Like, all right.
We went into such detail, and I agree
with everything
you said.
No, and we've gone into detail, and I want to take... I want to table this until we get to David versus Jordan, because there's a way to do a group date well and there's a way to do it shitty. And I think that talking about Kendall and Crystal and comparing it to this group date that we saw tonight, I think we'll have some good material.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I think we'll have some good material.
You're right.
So let's move
forward.
Table
it for a second.
Let's move forward for this group date.
Well, not a second.
Yeah. So let's move forward onto this group date, which has the boys in like a big limo thing. It was bad, but I feel like it kind of...
But that's already setting
like,
a bad negative energy. I think it started out very interesting.
It started out very interesting. So they're pulling into this large Vegas estate.
I mean, it is...
There are horses and peacocks and There's a plane.
There was a fucking.
There's
plane.
A plane.
It was a fucking palace.
There's
dude.
An it is an airstrip and a garage full of cars. And this is the estate of Mr. Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, fresh off of his constant Vegas show, because as everyone knows, he is Mr. Las Vegas.
He is Mr. Las Vegas, which is what the group date card said. It said, "I'm looking for my Mr. Las Vegas."
So you all had a feeling. Wayne
so we had a feeling
somehow.
Yeah, and also the coming up on the Bachelorette.
I feel like kind of
spoiled that Wayne Newton
much,
is in this
how
episode.
How much do you think you have to pay to just get Wayne Newton like just come hang out with you? Do you think, or maybe he just does it? Maybe Wayne Newton is just like a cool guy who's just like, "Hey, you want to hang out? I'm Wayne Newton."
You know, there's a part of me that really thinks Wayne Newton is that chill.
Right? Don't you want him to be so bad?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any reason to, like, not be. He's wildly successful. He has his own plane at his house that he lives in.
Yeah.
He's got all these animals. He comes up riding a horse like a fucking...
Yeah! Like a fucking cowboy!
A fucking cowboy in the desert. Like, I bet you just want, like,
a fucking desert cowboy!
Right. Like, Wayne Newton, do you want to just hang out? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to just like sing to me?
So the boys all arrive. They
also,
see
we shouldn't
Becca.
Yell too much because I do live with people.
Okay.
I'm okay with this being loud, but we should be a little cognizant.
Yes, of course. So the boys arrive. Becca is like standing there, and they're all like Becca, and they run towards her.
Of course, and she's like, "Get over
she's
here!"
She's like, "Get over here!
Get
hurry
over
up.
Here, you boys!
Get over here, boys! Shower me with love."
Yes, love me. Love
I am the Bachelorette. And then Wayne Newton arrives on a horse.
And let me tell you, it's majestic.
Oh, it's so majestic.
And the boys couldn't be happier.
The boys couldn't be happier. And
Wayne fucking Newton is a thing that someone definitely says.
Yep.
And I think it was Connor. Connor's like, "It's Wayne fucking Newton." And Jason's like, "That's Wayne freaking Newton." And I'm like, as much as, like, I know who Wayne Newton is, would I actually be that excited?
Here's the thing. I know who Wayne Newton is.
Yes.
But...
Are you, like, bumping his music all the time? Like,
No. That's not the point I'm making.
Sweet Wayne Newton
tracks? That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that I'm familiar with Wayne Newton. Like,
right.
I know who he is. He's an icon.
That is true.
Do I really know what he looks like?
Now I do,
yeah. But like, if he just arrives on a horse in front of me, and while I'm on a group date, while I've been in like a media blackout for like the last like several weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I might forget who Wayne Newton is.
Like, it's not that I forget who Wayne Newton looks, but like, it's not that I forget who he is. But already, what he looks like isn't something that's really a permanent fixture in my mind.
That's very true.
And after like for 5 weeks of media blackout, I see this man arrive on a horse, and I'm just like,
who is this god?
My immediate thought is just like, was that John Wayne? I don't know.
Chris Harrison?
Yeah.
When did Chris Harrison get so tan and old?
Yeah. Like my immediate reaction, like, I'm not going to immediately know, "Oh, that's Wayne Newton."
Like, I feel like any other man, like when you've been like this, like any other man you're seeing in your life is either Chris Harrison or another boy like in the
that
in the
you
house.
Live with. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris?
Oh, no. You've forgotten what every other man looks like.
Yeah. You think every man is a Chris Harrison.
Every man is either Chris Harrison, or for some reason I think that, I don't know why this is coming to me, but I feel like in the lives of the contestants on The Bachelorette, there's really only two men that are important. It's Chris Harrison.
And Neil Lane.
No, I was thinking Terry Crews for some reason.
Why Terry
Crews? I don't know.
We've talked about the link between the two of them.
Exactly, we talked
that
about the link.
That was an earlier thing because
they both hosted Millionaire.
Nice, that's why I said I wanted him to be Chris Harrison's
I just feel
successor.
Like everybody who's on The Bachelorette loves Terry Crews, and I don't.
Oh, who wouldn't?
And how could you not?
He's amazing.
He's a wonderful man.
This is now a Terry Crews podcast.
This is now a Terry... Bros Before Crews.
Yeah. Cruising with the boys.
Cruising for a bruising.
Cruising for a bruise! Oh, shit! Sorry, everyone. This podcast is canceled. You are now listening to Cruising for a Bruising.
I'm Alex Toy.
I'm Alan Moss.
And it's time to get bruised.
And it's
let's talk about Brooklyn Nine-Nine coming to NBC.
Oh, god damn. Okay. We need to get off this topic and get back to the actual date.
Okay. So let's get back to the date because it's
let's take a quick one.
Okay. So the boys are talking with Wayne Newton. He's talking about how music is what love is all about. He like sings a couple bars of Donkashen and like
everyone is in there just singing.
Everyone's fucking Donkashen.
Oh, Donkashen. I don't know any other words.
No. Other than that one. Yes. Me neither. But here's the thing where things start to get a little less horny.
Yeah.
This is another
when Chris R had a date where he had to write
a love song with Richard Marx.
Was that his name?
I remember he had a communist last name.
Do you remember that? That's impressive.
Yeah. I remember he had a communist last name. Fair. So it's either that or like Richard Lennon, which I don't think
it was definitely not Richard Lennon.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Richard Marx.
Richard Stalin.
Yeah. So remember that date?
I do. It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine. What if like 8 guys all did it at once though?
Including one of the guys that also has already done
Chris R, who's already done it. And hey, well, let's throw...
As an idea, does that date sound fun to you to watch or be in?
Is Wayne Newton there?
Wayne Newton is there, he is critiquing you.
Hmm. I don't know. It still feels like a date I've already seen.
Like, Wayne Newton is there judging you.
It feels like a date I've seen already.
But are you saying that you wouldn't want to see that on television?
I'm saying I wouldn't want to see it a second time.
Right. Like, the first time, you'd be okay with it.
The first time was pretty rough.
But you're saying that if they did it again, but, like, bigger, you would not like that.
I don't think so, no.
Man, it's a good thing they didn't do that tonight, did they?
Bazinga.
I got you. Uh-oh. Did you hear all that? We fooled you. We fooled all of you. You're all idiots. Suck on it. You
can't believe I just said idiots. Bazinga.
Like you did this to a bazinga. I told them that we had one Big Bang joke, and you've done two, and that makes me a fucking liar. But we fooled them,
though. I haven't watched Big Bang Theory in like 5 years.
Neither have I. Believe it at that. But we fooled all of you. That's
so
the important thing.
Everyone is now going to write their own version of Donkashen.
Right.
About Becca.
Based on like, you know, the experiences they've had with her.
Yeah.
And like everyone and so then it's just like, let's all go to your corners. And just like write your
Let's all
music.
Go to your corners. This felt like something we did at camp. This felt absolutely.
I want everyone to go and have a solo and write a song.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely done that
at camp. And somebody is going to like walk around and check in on you every once in a while.
And in this case,
it's Wayne fucking Newton.
It's Wayne Newton, and he's ready to judge you.
Yeah.
So I would be super fucking nervous.
One, yes. But like, some of these guys had like decent ideas of like changing. Like Donkashen defense,
they gave it
like,
a fine try.
They gave it their best shot,
right?
And some of them did like they did okay. like they did okay. like nobody did fantastic, and no. even Wayne Newton was like said like
even Wayne's like look, I wouldn't let any of them perform this, but they didn't do bad.
They didn't do bad, and of course he says I wouldn't want any of this going on stage. But guess what's about to fucking happen?
You're all gonna perform your shitty
fucking songs. These boys all suit up.
Suit up.
They head to Wayne Newton Theater, which I assume is what it's called.
Yeah.
And Wayne Newton first introduces Becca.
WNT.
Says, this is the Bachelorette. Here we go. You know my fucking song. Now it's time to hear a bunch of Weird Al Yankovic mashups.
Yeah. Like, here's a bunch of parodies of that song. You're going to listen to eight parodies in a row of my song. And guess what? You're not going to enjoy it.
So
thanks for giving me your money,
so
assholes.
So one by one, Wayne Newton brings up a tux-wearing boy to the stage to sing
their version
of his song.
Oh, yeah. Their version of his Donkashen.
And it goes about as well as you expect it to.
Social anxiety ahoy.
Social anxiety ahoy. So the first guy who goes up is John. First one up was John.
John. John just owned it.
John owned it. I thought John did very well here because this date is stupid.
It's the worst.
And before we
get too far into John, I just want to say on a whole, I appreciated that this is a date for me, even being an actor and being in front of people, when I'm putting out a subpar product, I'm very nervous.
Exactly.
And I'm already nervous even when I'm putting out a good product on the stage. This would have me just like, legitimately, like I said, social anxiety ahoy.
Yeah.
I would be like, fucking, oh, this would, I'd yeah. be freaking out. So the fact that all of them get up and do this, I give them all credit.
Respect, yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
So I want to, disclaimer for that, first off.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. Like, I'm a comedian. I'm an improviser. I would rather have gone up on stage with nothing and made it up on the spot than I would have had to write something.
Oh, God. So anyway, back to John.
Back to the point. John goes first.
Does
very
well for whatever.
Sings his song. But he's, like, smiling. He's having a good time.
And he says, too, I'm just going to roll with it.
He's, like, gesturing to the band. He's having fun.
John's a good guy.
Like, I don't have a lot of notes on this.
There's no real notes.
I wrote,
everyone does fine.
I wrote, Garrett isn't good. Lincoln is bad. Connor brings up the fucking picture frame. And I just wrote,
I was like, oh, God.
And then I just wrote, Leo.
Leo. Yeah, Leo is there. Wills does fine.
Yeah. Chris, orders a drink from the bar.
By the way, can we just give Will some props for that fucking floral print thing he was wearing
He's wearing a romp-him.
He's wearing a romp him?
Yeah.
That was a romp him.
That was a romp
and
him.
It was just like on point.
Yeah.
Way to go, Wills.
Yeah,
you
Wills
keep,
was looking
you keep
fantastic.
Being great.
Wills,
keep it up, Wills.
Yeah. Wills is like.
Wills is the sleeper, dude.
Wills is a sleeper.
Wills was
for
a
sure.
fucking sleeper.
Yeah.
And that one-on-one is like. Pff, Wills.
Brought him forward.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
If Wills keeps just being good and doesn't. I don't know if he does win.
I don't think Wills is going to win, but I
think he is.
I think
sucks to say.
I think it would be optimistic for him to make it to the final four.
Yeah.
I think, but I think
I don't know. I don't want to say optimistic for final four. I think he can definitely make final four.
Okay.
I'm gonna absolutely put it out there. Final four for Wills.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying he doesn't win maybe is just because Garrett's probably gonna win. It just in my eyes, just because statistically, I'm just going by statistics.
Yeah.
First impression rose usually means that.
And that's why they brought in Rachel and JoJo.
Yeah.
Because on The Bachelorette, the last two seasons, first impression rose always wins.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I don't want him to win.
No.
Not necessarily.
Garrett's
fine on the show.
Yeah. If we hadn't seen his like Instagram fuck ups.
Yeah.
Like,
which
I'd
again
be on
has
board.
Been far like outweighed
which,
by the
which,
other
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Lincoln fucking said, "Hold my goddamn beer."
Yeah, Jesus.
But I'd say Garrett's doing pretty well.
Yeah, Garrett's doing well.
I want to talk about the... Sorry,
I got off track. I just wanted to give Wills that credit.
Yeah,
we got
no, Wills gets some real credit. So Chris R., a man like that with a gun.
Cousin Eddie.
He orders a drink. He sings poorly. He brings up
but
Ari
he
in his
owns
song.
The whole room.
He owns
he
it.
Doing
he owns
well
it very
here.
Well. He does like crowd work. He's like doing a
I was
good
like,
job.
I was like, this is good.
I was really impressed. And
yeah.
the thing is, it's not like
he owned
like,
his moment, which is
yeah.
what you have to do in this situation.
He
like,
did.
Make yourself stand out a little bit.
He did. But then we move on to the after party, and this is where Chris R.
Becomes a garbage boy.
Not be fantastic.
Like, I've never seen someone switch from like a boy I'm okay with to just like straight garbage boy.
I agree.
So quickly.
Quickly.
Usually you're like, ooh, this guy's, I'm losing it on this guy, but now it's just like, garbage boy.
Yeah. He dropped very fast.
Very quickly.
So Chris R. is like basically just being cocky.
Which I understand
and
if you do well, doing
as well as he did there, I don't want to say it's deserved, but it's understandable.
But if you clearly had probably the better performance out of all of them,
yeah,
you'd feel a little bit like, I got this.
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Yeah. So we basically get like, you know, the basic after party stuff about where each boy sort of has their time with Becca.
Right.
Garrett and Becca have some time together. It's
Everyone's
cute,
getting
whatever.
Smooches.
Everyone's getting some smooches. But the,
everyone gets smooches.
The only person who isn't getting their time with Becca is Chris R.
By choice.
By choice.
And this
he
is
never
where,
gets up. He never. He just continues to sit there.
He makes a decision. And this is where, like, this is where immediately I'm like, oh, fuck you, Chris. Fuck you. And I have been on Chris's side since his little bit of drama at the beginning.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Chris. Basically what he says is, Becca should be coming to me.
Yep.
She should be coming to find me.
Which is just such a trash.
Fuck you.
Thing. Yeah.
I'm great. She should be coming to find me. I'm the better one here. I'm the one who deserves all this attention. I did this. Listen, you asshole. You fucking asshat piece of shit. That is not how you can talk to anyone or consider any fucking relationship. That's not how you build a strong connection with someone.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It was just the audacity and the fucking cockiness that this dude just brings out of nowhere is bullshit. And the fact that he starts getting mad at Becca because Becca hasn't come to just find him and make him feel like he's a special boy is ridiculous. Like, how fucking spoiled do you have to be to do that? Like, I'm sorry. I know I went on a bit of a rant there, but like that's really what was making me feel like.
Yeah.
And I couldn't fathom how this dude is being this way.
It was bad. So meanwhile, we also get a brief steal-yo away from Blake. Who brings Becca outside, and he's talking about how Jean Blanc stole the "I'm falling for you" thunder.
Right. I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah, I'm falling in love with you.
So he pulls.
So then he activates his trap card, and he tells Becca that he is falling in love with her.
So Alex.
Yes.
I know how last week someone told you that and it ruined it, but I want you to know that this week, I'm falling in love with
because
you.
Because this week is week 5. Now it's okay.
The producer said, I can do this.
It's
now.
Okay. It's week 5 now.
That's right.
We've waited the requisite amount of time. Week four? Are you kidding me? That was too early, Jean Blanc.
No one can feel love in week 4. It's week 5 now, Alex.
Week 5.
I'm falling in love with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So they get some smooches. Chris R. does not talk to Becca all night. Blake gets that group date rose.
And again, and she doesn't talk to him because he makes the choice not to talk to
exactly,
her.
Exactly.
No. Not because
this
she wanted to ignore him.
100% his fault.
You have to go find that woman. Like, go and find her and say, hey, I would like to have some time with you.
Yeah.
And then he's shocked. He doesn't get the fucking rose.
Yeah.
Blake gets it. And because he, like...
Because
you know,
he fucking did something.
Right? Oh, Jesus.
So meanwhile, back at the mansion, another date card
it's
arrives.
It's just Colton and Jordan and
it's
David.
It's just Colton, David, and Jordan.
And Colton is little. The producers
Colton
are like
is sitting between
the producers.
Two of
definitely
them.
Were like, "Hey, Colton, I want you to sit there, and it's gonna be awkward.
It's gonna be so uncomfortable.
You're gonna
I
hate
need
it.
You to just sit there in a pink T-shirt,
yeah,
and just listen to these two boys
and enjoy how shitty it is.
So the date card is dropped, and here's what it says. And this is something that struck me in a very interesting way.
Mm.
The date card said, Jordan, David, meet me in the Valley of Fire. Now, here's the thing. It wasn't a cute pun. Like,
it was not.
Let's ride off into the sunset or looking for Mr. Las Vegas. It's just, meet me in the Valley of Fire.
Just meet me there. She sent a quick text over
envelope.
But
here's the thing. What did the date card say for Crystal and Kendall? Meet me in fucking French Villa place. It was the exact same thing. Just meet me here.
Oh shit! It was.
Yep. It was meet me here. Exact same thing.
Damn.
Exact same thing.
So when it's a 2-on-1, that means business.
When it's a 2-on-1, we're not fucking around.
It's like your parent is mad at you.
Yeah.
2-on-1s are like a punishment. We all know 2-on-1s are a fucking punishment.
Kind of.
But again, why would you punish Kendall?
Exactly. Well, okay. So here's this is the part where we.
Oh, but not.
We've talked about that. I know, but this is the part where I want us to hold off on talking about before.
Yeah.
Now we're here. So the 2-on-1 this season is between David and Jordan.
Yes.
And this tension between these two boys.
It's more like a one-shin.
Well, it's been building since like week 2.
It was a bad joke.
It was a very bad joke. That's why I didn't acknowledge it.
I'm sorry.
But it's been building between these two boys for a long time. And there's been some tension between Jordan and like Colton and some other boys, but nothing
comparative
like,
to David and Jordan. It's always been those two. It's always been like, hey Jordan, what's up? Hey David, you fell out of that bed. Fuck you. Like,
but nothing that Jordan. Because I'd say ostensibly Jordan is like the villain in this situation,
yes.
where he is the one creating the drama. Jordan as a villain. Compared to Crystal, is nothing.
Nothing.
Crystal was a monster.
See, Jordan, you at least watch him and be like, yeah, you're going to be great on BIP. They're definitely going to want you back on the show just because you're polarizing enough where it's funny.
Crystal's
polarizing enough where like you're like, this person's like legitimately not a good person.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to watch them.
These two people, so just Jordan and David, putting them on a 2-on-1 is like taking two children and putting them in a room together and saying, all right, you two sort it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas when you had the group date last season with Kendall and Crystal, that was literally just the forces of good versus the forces of evil.
It's like, hey, Kendall, just deal with her. Like,
hey, Crystal, you're the worst. Kendall, you're perfect. Now, yeah. now you two sort
of... Like, yeah, we already know who's going to win, but we just want to see it.
Yeah. Whereas, like, David and Jordan are just bickering children.
They really are.
Like I was talking with Kyle about this the other night. There's a way to do a group date right. There's a way to do it wrong. This was how you do it wrong.
Yeah.
Because this date... This was
very Lee and Kenny King.
Well, not Lee and Kenny. Sans the racial undertones. But real quick, I want to recap Crystal and Kendall's 2-on-1 date.
Okay.
Because they arrived at the
Chateau de France place.
Chateau de France. They walk around with Ari. They looked at like some paintings. Ari confused a ukulele and a lute. They went into like a corn maze together, and like they hunted down Ari, and then they like sat down and duked it out. Like they had their Kendall talked
they
to Ari,
had an event.
Crystal talked to Ari. This and then the date shuffled on. Whatever. This date didn't have anything in it
other than a drive.
Other than driving.
Yeah, this was bad.
And then they just arrive at this bed in the middle of the desert so the two of them can basically duke it out.
The last time Becca was at a bed in the middle of the desert, we know what happened.
The fuck palace.
That was, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, this date had nothing.
There was no substance.
What was this date? Was this date literally just for these two to hate each other and then to put Becca in the middle of it?
No, that's literally what the producer said. They were like, hey, look, these guys definitely hate each other. Let's just fucking let it get as much as it can.
Yeah. Let's
just make them fucking hate each other.
Put them in the fucking desert.
And everyone's going to want to watch that shit.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
Secret none of us wanted to watch that.
Yeah, because, and here's the thing. When this date started, it was 8:56. This episode is not even half over yet.
And it's felt like it's gone on forever.
We've seen two dates already.
Yeah.
And now the rest of this episode is this date. And then the cocktail party and the rose ceremony, which honestly went on longer than...
Which is its own
monster. We'll get to that fucker. And here's the thing. I feel like we can... The rest of this 2-on-1 date goes...
Exactly how you think
it's going to. David sits with Becca, and he talks about how Jordan sucks.
And also, it's very awkward at first. Like, Becca's clearly uncomfortable. She doesn't want to be
Becca
here.
Becca definitely does not want to be doing this.
Not at all. She has zero. She's saying what the producers are telling her to say. Essentially.
And the thing is, you know, if Jordan wasn't there, I feel like David could have been a good contestant on this show.
I think so too.
Because he does have a little bit of fun going for him. He does have that chicken thing. Like, I think if not for Jordan, David could have. Maybe even been a front runner this season, honestly.
Maybe.
But that's not what happened. And David is like just talking about how Jordan sucks. He was talking about
here's the other fucking thing.
Yeah.
And Kendall got this so right.
Yeah.
She didn't focus on the other person. She talked about them. She talked about this relationship.
Yeah.
She talked about what she thinks makes this relationship strong.
Yeah.
And that resonated with the person. And if David had fucking just never mentioned Jordan this entire time and just said, look, if he said, look, Jordan and I might not like each other, but
it shouldn't get in the way of this relationship.
And I'm more interested in the fact that you and I have some time here. Let's just keep getting to know each other here. While we're here, let's try to forget that this is what this is.
And let's get to know each other. This should have happened, but it's not.
Yeah.
Instead, David starts talking about how, like, Jordan was, like, talking about how he'd be settling for Becca because he's a model. And he said certain things like that.
So he starts the gossip train already, which we always know doesn't end
and then,
well.
And then talking about settling triggers some shit in Becca about her relationship with Ari.
And that's stressing her out more. She's already stressed out.
Yeah. And then, so David feels pretty accomplished. He's not, but whatever.
He knows he said the right things to get Jordan upset.
Yeah.
Because that's what Jordan is here to do right now. Jordan is definitely here right now to make him upset because he knows he has a tendency to fly off the handle.
Yep.
And then make him have a scene and then get kicked off.
Yep.
Jordan's plan. That's definitely Jordan's plan.
So then we get Jordan's time with Becca, which is sort of just Becca bringing up what David said. Jordan responding to it.
Jordan responding in just a fucking flurry of words. I can't even tell you what Jordan said.
So Jordan is talking to Becca, and he's talking about... He is not completely speaking the truth here, because he's saying, David jabs at me, I do not jab at David, which is patently untrue.
Patently untrue. That, you kind of were happy. You literally said, like, thank goodness he fell off a fucking bed.
Yeah. Like, he's calling David a liar, which I don't... There wasn't even... David wasn't completely truthful either. So,
no,
like,
they're both
lying.
They're
both lying here. Becca brings up that, honestly, other men have had problems with Jordan.
Yeah, this isn't the first fucking time people have problems with
Jordan. David's not the only person who has problems with Jordan, but, like, so Becca brings
up... Other people have kind of accused Jordan of this that we haven't seen,
exactly. And we saw his issues with Colton last week.
Right, but we never saw Colton, like, being like, look, Jordan's been a fucking douche.
Jordan, yeah, and then... I don't know, Jordan tries to, like, Jordan and Becca try to talk about, like, a relationship, and it's just, like, kind of very weird and awkward, because Jordan, like, he talks about his parents' relationship, and he's talking about how his mother, like, struggles with a lot of mental illnesses.
Just out of nowhere!
Just out of nowhere he starts talking about this, and then he, like, says something about the best of times and the worst of times, starts quoting that.
Oh, fucking quote, he quote, because he definitely only read the first page of A Tale of Two Cities, and that's how he used it.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere. So Becca and Jordan return to the bed in the desert, and Becca says, I need to take some time to process this, and she walks
and
away.
And she lets them fucking go at
and
it.
And Jordan loses his fucking mind.
Yes.
He is yelling at David, who, like, maintained his
cool... just letting him do it because this is what he wanted. He got what he wanted.
Yeah, Jordan, or David maintained his cool through this whole
thing. Because this is exactly what he was hoping would
happen.
Because
he played Jordan like a fucking fiddle.
Right.
Jordan
not
is
that
yelling
it's hard.
And just no, it's not hard. I want to talk a little bit about Jordan once we're done here. But like Jordan is yelling, you lack integrity, you lack charisma, you lack dexterity, you lack strength, you lack intelligence, you lack constitution. Your armor class is low. I'm making a Dungeons and Dragons joke if you haven't caught on
I
yet.
I got that joke.
Okay, thank you. But he did say you lack integrity, you lack charisma. He was like, you lack personality. Like, he was basically accusing David of honestly all the things that he is.
Didn't he say, like, this is my power? I have my power.
No, being me is my power. You don't have my power.
Oh my god, he's given some classic Jordan lines.
And then Jordan throws out, you're worse than Ari, man, and then walks away.
Yeah, he's like, stick my foot up your ass.
Yeah, like, he gets angry and shuffles on.
And then Becca just comes
back. Becca comes back, and Becca is not fucking happy. Because
she definitely heard this.
Jordan is screaming.
There's not a fucking chance that his voice isn't echoing all over this
and let's be
valley.
Honest, let's be honest, Becca's not very far away.
No. This valley where sound definitely travels.
Yeah.
Becca's hearing this whole shit.
Yeah.
And so she's clearly like, I have to fucking sit in the middle of this?
Yep. So,
which she does, they make her do, and she is sitting in the between them, and David's still trying to be like, all right, you know, whatever.
For the record, someone is clearly like the garbage is just being dealt with outside right now, so if you keep hearing loud noises, that's what that is.
Yeah, they're really doing a shitty job.
Yeah.
Whoever's dealing with the garbage out there, because they keep fucking slamming it like it's their job.
Yeah. So Becca talks, and she basically says, like,
kind of
want to
yell at him. They're like, hey!
I'm recording a podcast in here.
About the Bachelorette. Have some damn respect.
Do you not want Becca to find love?
Do you think the guy in the $2,000 suit doesn't want to hear this shit? Come on.
Come on. So Becca ultimately decides at this juncture to not give David a rose.
Which was a shock because I was like, yo, she went let David go first? Holy shit.
Because
apparently David didn't open up as much.
David really didn't open up. Jordan opened up a little bit, and it wasn't graceful.
It wasn't
but
good.
He opened up at
and
all.
That's what she had to say. It's like, one person actually opened up here. I'm just going to go with that guy.
Yeah, and David didn't. He just bitched about Jordan the whole time.
Yeah.
So they leave David in the desert to fend for himself.
In the middle of the desert to now, you know, hunt lizards and sleep on that bed.
Yep.
That's his life now.
Yep.
Goodbye, David.
Goodbye, David. Enjoy your time in the desert.
This is David after desert.
David after the desert. So, Becca and Jordan go to dinner that night. You're really pleased that you've, like, mentioned this YouTube video from 2006.
Yeah. I am.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So,
sorry.
Dinner time with Jordan... This was
isn't
fun.
Good.
This is bad. So my they're sitting at dinner and they're talking.
I'm gonna give Becca a lot of credit here.
Yeah,
because she definitely gives Jordan a chance.
She did.
You see her like being like, "All right, I'm gonna give this guy a chance."
And she like tries to have a conversation, and Jordan so tries with her too.
And she goes, "All right, let's get to know each other." And he goes, "All right, let's get to know each other." And then she goes, "All right,
yeah."
Like, and then this is your move.
This
bitch.
Is my favorite part. So Jordan tries to come up with a question to ask, and he asks, "So what does like a weekend look like for you?" And so,
That depends.
Me too.
That is the literal beginning.
That's
of
how
that
this conversation works.
It depends. Oh yeah, me too.
It's like what?
What? It depends. Yeah, Jordan. It depends on fucking everyone. What happened on the weekend, you dipshit.
And then Jordan talks about how important it is that he goes to the gym.
Yeah, talks about I go to the gym. I do my modeling. That's all I do. And then he just goes like, so I make a lot of faces when I model. And do you want to see all of my model faces?
He shows her blue steel.
And she definitely shows him blue steel. It felt like for a second they were having some sort of little connection. But they weren't, because Jordan only will talk about himself the whole time. Hey, did you know Jordan's a male model? No one knew that before
Becca actually asks him about Zoolander.
Which I thought was like, oh, that's cute. Like, I thought that's a good little icebreaker on her. Again, she's really giving
him... She's really trying here. But ultimately, Jordan just wants to talk about himself. He's so self-obsessed. And she decides at this juncture
We did forget something.
What did we forget?
Because as David gets sent home, the whole house is very like,
right.
Fuck.
This is actually important. So let's back up. David gets sent home, and he doesn't get a rose, and as a PA comes in to take...
As per the use,
to take David's luggage away from the hotel room.
Everyone in the house like,
Everyone in the mansion is fucking surprised, and they're upset because it means they have to continue
to
deal
with Jordan.
You went
into it wrong. Some guy's like, he went with the wrong energy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
So back to dinner time, at this point...
So everyone's upset, like, oh, fuck, we gotta keep dealing with Jordan.
Yeah. But Becca decides to not give Jordan a rose either.
Because he only talks about himself,
and he's just not a very deep individual.
At all.
So now we cut back to the room again, where another PA has arrived to take Jordan's luggage away.
And this is going on as there are fireworks going off that would have been for Becca and Jordan.
Yep, and everyone's at the window being like, what?
Oh, shit, is that for them? Oh, what if he's not actually there? Someone makes that joke.
Yeah.
And then the person comes in, and they're like,
and everyone starts
cheering. I've never
seen them.
They're like, literally, like, okay.
This was comparable to when Chad got sent home years ago.
This is comparable to when Oprah gave all those women cars.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely some people just going like, you can't see me, but there's like pumping their fists, jumping up and down, going like, yeah! That's how people
are
freaking out.
They are excited.
They don't have to see Jordan anymore.
Yeah. Oh, also, Beck and Jordan had the most awkward kiss in the world.
Oh, that's right. You know what time it is? Just go steal one of these. I was like, oh, Jordan. He also refers to her as a snack at one point during this episode. It was fucking terrible. Jordan, you are going to be the best on BIP, and I'm going to love watching how shitty you are, but you are a terrible Bachelorette contestant.
Yeah. So now we move on.
Just want to point that out. Everyone was very happy.
Yeah, so we move on to the cocktail party now. And
it starts off just great.
It starts off fine.
Sarcasm.
It's just like, this is where things are...
kind of building up a,
starting
with the
Chris
man like that with a gun.
Yeah, where's my fucking money, Denny?
So where's my fucking rose, Becca? Yeah.
So as soon as the cocktail party starts, Becca takes Chris away. To talk to him, be like, hey, what's going on?
And he starts out like such a dick.
Yeah.
He goes, you owe me like 50,000 kisses. And she's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
I owe you something?
Let's unpack that, homie. Yeah.
And I was like, that's right, girl.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fuck this dude. They start having this conversation. I couldn't tell you every word that was said. Essentially, what Chris R is saying, that like, I felt like, you know, you didn't give me the time, and I don't know why you didn't come up and like want to take me aside. And she's like, well, you know, you had plenty of time to kind of come up and talk to me and do any of that. I feel like this
this isn't all on her.
I want a partnership to be 50-50 here.
And,
like,
and she talks, she brings it up a lot. She wants like a 50-50 thing going.
Yeah, like,
she brings it up a lot, and I think that's
my fault.
Fair.
And it makes her very frustrated.
Yeah.
Enough so that she walks away from this conversation.
Yeah, and I thought that was the end there. I thought, like, Chris was going home.
Yeah, I thought Chris was going home.
But it wasn't. Chris just returns to the cocktail party. Beck returns to the cocktail
party. And just kind of has, like, having a freak out. Like, I didn't have the right conversation with her. And Chris has still been freaking out before this. Like,
yeah.
He threatened to leave. He threatened to the other guys that he was ready to leave this,
yeah,
this thing because Becca didn't give him the rose and didn't give him the time at the last group date. And she brought that up,
yeah,
to him. And he was like, oh, well, I told you that I wanted to be here. Like, if I wouldn't want to be
and,
here,
and
I
he even said,
be
like,
here.
I was saying, like, should I go home? Which, like, isn't what he said, so whatever.
Right, no, he said, I'm going home.
Yeah. So
this is like a fucking crystal shit that happened last
year. This is some fucking crystal shit. This is crystal after the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And we
it's
get...
It's literally that.
Yeah, no, it is. We get... So just to continue with this drama, we have Wills, who is having a lovely conversation.
Very nice to talk about how they're both kind of nerdy.
Yeah.
And like, which is a thing Becca has always, like, described herself as.
Which I really haven't seen a lot of,
yeah.
Becca.
Yeah, Becca,
but
are you playing Fortnite, girl?
Yeah, like, what's your gamer tag?
What's your KD? What's
yeah.
your KD, girl?
Yeah.
How many dubs you got? How many dubs you got, girl?
Okay, I don't play Fortnite, and I still consider myself a nerd, and I'm sorry I just lied. I do play Fortnite, but...
I'm so proud of you. You're in the fucking club now, bro.
It came out on Switch, and now I can
I
play
know,
while I'm pooping.
It's so great.
I can play while I'm pooping now.
That is the biggest highlight of a Switch.
And, like, God, just, we can talk about E3 later. Never mind. This isn't part of this.
But Becca, I want to see some more nerdiness from you, please.
Yeah.
She's a Harry Potter nerd, apparently. That's why she, like, that's what was her first impression with
Wills. Yeah.
Because he has a Harry Potter tattoo.
Yeah, he's got the Deathly Hallows.
That's right.
Right. They do this all the time. I want more from the lead.
Yeah, no, it's always the case.
And especially since we got so little of Becca during Ari's season.
Yeah.
Like, I want more. I want more from this show.
Yeah, I just want more of Becca's personality. She seems like a very likable.
I want more of everyone's personality. Yeah. I wanted more of Ari's personality. I wanted more of Nick's personality.
I think we saw Ari's
We may have seen all of Ari's
That's
personality.
Ari.
But I also wanted to see, like...
Because we got to see those snapshots of Nick Vile where he's just such
yeah,
a
Yeah, we saw, like
a good goofus.
Yeah,
like
we saw Nick, like, leaking out at points, and it was
where
great.
Where he's, like, doing the dinosaur on the
yeah.
beach, and, like, you're like, oh, he's just a silly
Look
boy.
Silly guy.
Here, you don't get to see
this
Becca, like...
Nicholas.
The only time I've seen Becca be, like, silly was with Garrett.
Yeah.
That was the only time I've seen her be silly and
yeah.
have fun. That's what points a lot to these
We
two.
Need more of that in this show.
I
Chris
agree.
Harrison, I know you're listening to this.
We know. He's
I know Chris
he tweets
Harrison.
At us all the time.
I know Chris Harrison listens
we're
to our podcast.
We're up all night just like texting each other, just
yeah.
like being like, Chris, like what?
We
up?
Have a group chat, you, me, Chris.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You,
hey man,
me,
how you
me,
doing
and
tonight?
Chrissy.
So Wills and Becca are having a conversation.
Yes, and they're having a very nice conversation. And then they had only been talking for maybe like a minute and a half.
Yeah. When...
And then Chris R.
Yep.
Just comes over and is like, hey, can I steal it away for a minute? And Wills is like... No. And Becca just goes, we just sat down.
Yeah.
Like a minute ago.
Yeah.
Like literally a minute ago. And Wills is like, no man, I really don't want to do that. And he's like, and Chris keeps pushing it. He's just going like, please, like this is very important. Like, I really want to have this time. And then Wills, because he's a fucking gentleman and understands if he keeps saying no, it's definitely going to make him look a little bad. It might make him
yeah.
look a little bad. It might not. Becca might perceive it like, no, he actually deserves his time.
Yeah.
And he makes the very gracious thing and goes, all right, I'm going to give you 2 minutes because I haven't had my time yet.
Yep.
And then I'm coming back.
Yep.
You got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So he gets up and walks away. Doesn't even listen to them.
Yeah.
He's not like doing the thing where he's like right nearby.
Hovering nearby.
He
walks away.
He literally
away.
Gives them space like a fucking gentleman.
Yeah.
And then Chris starts kind of having a conversation. Doesn't really get all the
he
words
is also,
out.
He's also counting. Like you saw him standing there like
yeah.
with his fingers.
One.
He is
two.
Counting to 120.
Do you think he was doing Mississippi or steamboats?
Is steamboats a thing?
One,
I never,
one,
I've never heard
steamboat,
steamboats.
Or, no. Is it? No, I've definitely heard.
I know one, Mississippi.
Tugboat. I think it was tugboat.
Tugboat has less syllables than Mississippi.
I know. I don't know. I remember hearing someone go like one tugboat, two tugboat.
I mean, I guess it works out.
I don't know, but I think he's definitely doing
yeah.
Mississippi. That's what we all do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One
of them was like, oh, one Mississippi. Two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Like, he definitely had.
He definitely was counting, though.
He absolutely was counting.
And after 2 minutes are up,
he comes out. He comes back. Lying. He's like, hey, man, all right, I gave you 2 minutes. It was only a minute, man. No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Because he counted.
Because he fucking counted.
He's like, it was not. It was, I said, 2 minutes. I deserve my time. You've gotten your
time. And he said, you got your time with her tonight. I gave you this.
I was doing the right thing. And I want to point this out. Wills never raises his voice.
Nope.
Wills never says anything disrespectful. Never claims Chris is disrespectful.
Nope.
He never says anything combative at all here.
Yeah.
He stands up for himself like a fucking adult would.
Yeah.
And he just says, like, and Chris goes, look, this is really important. And he goes, what, my time's not important? And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That was the fucking right thing to say, because that put him on the spot, too. Yeah. Where he has to backtrack. Like, Wills knew exactly how to own that conversation.
Yep, and he did a great job.
And he's just like, no, man. Like, look, I want my time. You got your time already. My time is just as important as yours. Your time is not more important than mine.
Yeah.
I want my time. I gave you this time. I did the right thing by letting you do this, but I want my time back now, please.
Yeah.
And he just gets on in there, and I was like, yo, my man.
Yeah. And Becca like tells Chris, like, I will come find you. I will come find you once I'm like.
And the minute he walks away, he's fucking, he's bullshit. Like, he's so upset. And Becca clearly is so much happier that she's not with him.
Immediately, as soon as he's gone,
as soon as Will sits down,
she's so clearly relaxed. Like so good.
And Wills is a great boy. Like, yeah. Team Wills all the way right now.
Faux show. Hey, guess who's here?
Who's here?
It's Dad.
Dad's home.
Dad's home.
Dad's home.
It's the first time we've seen him all episode.
Nothing else happens, right? But after that, like, there's nothing else that to matter. Yeah, this is the first time we've seen Daddy all episode.
Yeah, and
it was
like,
good to see him.
We got a brief moment,
but he was just like, look.
Yeah.
The Don's got to make an appearance. Sometime, yeah. Right.
You can't have a Harrison-free episode.
I think we would all notice too if you never saw him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We would all, yeah, that's how pissed I would be.
Yeah, I would be too. And he's like, hey, rose ceremony time.
I'm here.
I'm here. We can do this now. Yeah. Someone just won $1 million. Let's go. So we go to the rose ceremony.
Like $1 million. Just want to point that out.
He always looks like $1 million.
Very
Wait,
true.
Quick, back up. You know who also I think looked really good, and this is going to be controversial? I think Chris was dressed very well. He had like a blue suit on with a pink shirt underneath.
He looked so good.
And like a matching pocket square.
This, I love that this podcast is also just like the Chris Harrison fan cast.
No, I'm talking about Chris R.
Oh, you're talking about Chris R.
Chris R was dressed very well.
He was dressed very well, but Chris Harrison's
always Chris Harrison is dressed well. Always dressed
There's
well.
Never not a moment where he isn't looking great.
Yeah. But Chris R was dressed very well. He was dressed very well. So we go to the rose ceremony, and we get some rose time to
yeah,
hand out some
essentially,
roses.
Yeah, no. But Becca does finish his conversation with Chris.
You're right.
She finishes that conversation with Chris.
Yeah,
and they end up continue talking out. He feels like he apologizes a bit.
Yeah,
kind of doesn't feel very sincere. And then it's to the rose ceremony.
And then we go to the rose ceremony. So there are some roses to give out. Colton already has a rose tonight.
Only one person will not be getting a rose here tonight.
Because we lost both David and Jordan.
Yes.
So Colton has a rose already. Blake has a rose already.
So they're safe.
And one person is going home tonight.
Yes.
So the roses are given out to Garrett, Jason, Wills, Lincoln, Leo, Connor. And the final rose goes to Chris. So tonight we said goodbye. Tonight we said goodbye to John.
Which was fucking suck.
Which
John was such a
really
good
hurt.
Boy.
He was so good. And I thought he really shined on the group dates.
I did too.
This week and last week.
I'm going to bring up a little controversy maybe.
Hit me.
This felt to
You're me. You're going to say it's because he's Asian?
No.
Okay. Because honestly, that's what I was gonna say.
This felt to me a producer cut.
Yeah.
This felt to me. Here's this thing we're getting from Chris. We got to move him forward, so we can have this bullshit next week. Because I bet he's gonna make a bunch of more bullshit next week. People are gonna want to watch that shit.
Yep.
That's what it felt like.
It does feel
and
like
I felt
that.
Like, I felt like when she says like I'm between two people at the end, and they go, "Well, pick that guy because it'll be better TV for us."
Yeah.
That's just what it fucking feels like.
It does
like.
Feel like that because after we everything...
got rid of, because we already got rid of the two things, we need to have some more.
We need to have some
forward.
Drama in the next two or three episodes.
Yeah, well, we need at least two more, two or three more episodes of bullshit, so we can just worry about the last four people where there's no real drama generally ever.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what it was. I'm absolutely positive on that.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's actually pretty.
And because he's Asian, racists.
Yeah.
I'm supporting you.
Yeah.
Your people got misrepresented in this fucking show.
I agree.
All right?
I agree. That's not enough right. Asians on
got,
this show.
Gotcha.
You
damn right.
Not enough Asians on this franchise.
But you're getting Yuki.
Huh?
Apparently you said you love her. Like, she's great.
She's just like, I don't know.
She's bubbly and fun.
She's just bubbly. She's a great personality. Like, you can't be mad at Yuki.
Ben in just
that's
to
what
friend.
I'm thinking. I'm thinking. So,
just
because
right. they're
so this episode is over now. We do get a post-credit scene for the first
Finally.
Time in a while, and it is Jordan getting a.
This
full...
is a great post-credit scene.
It is.
I'm so glad that we made us wait all this time for a great post-credit scene.
It is Jordan getting a full-on like spa facial in preparation for his two-on-one date.
It's because I gotta be handsome. I gotta look good. I'm gonna be out in the desert because that's all it is. I got this face, and I gotta make it look the right way because that's what happens. I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And
he's getting, like, the mask treatment. He's getting, like, spritzed with all of this, like, water and lotions. And, like, it's very awkward, but it's like, this is what you're fucking doing to go out into the desert?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I'm so glad you're not on this show anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yay, yay.
So, before we go into play of the game.
Yes.
I want to do something. We did this last season during Ari season. I just want... We're at like, kind of the midpoint right now.
Yeah.
And we did this during last season. Just how are you feeling about this season?
Oh, it started off so strong, and it has been so shitty these past two episodes. These past two episodes have been dog shit.
I agree. I feel like this season started off so strong.
The dates were great.
Like just we've come so far from that like. Anger Room with Lil Jon.
Right, that was so good.
That was
good. There was some, like, there's been some better dates, like, still. Like, okay, almost all the dates other than this fucking week have been really good for the most part.
But, like, none of them have stood out. Like, they're, like...
Anger Room with Lil Jon stands out.
Since then.
Oh,
no.
Since then.
Since then.
Sexy Lumberjack.
Sexy Lumberjack,
day,
you're right.
Was fun.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's been a lot... This season hasn't, like... gripped me, and I also feel like we've lost a lot of, like...
Good boys.
And not, like... And, like...
Guys who could have been front runners, but because of other things, like, kept them out, too.
Yeah, like...
Clay absolutely would have been a front runner.
Absolutely,
in the show.
Clay.
Absolutely would have been going farther
I
in the show.
I don't understand setting Ryan home. And, like, not even... Like, look, I understand sending him home.
How do you send him home the fucking, like 2 weeks... Like, you're gonna do the music date when the music guy isn't there?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding
me? But not even that. I try to think, like, were we the only people who loved Ryan and After the Final Rose?
Must have been.
Because he was so... I thought he had such a strong standing.
You come
there.
Out with a fucking banjo and you'd be the cute banjo boy with a nice bow tie and I'm like, damn, son!
And then he got no screen time
Zero.
For 4 weeks and then got sent home.
Yeah.
And, like, I understand if there just wasn't anything happening there, but, like, give us a little
Let
screen
me
time
see
or something.
It, please.
And, I justify sending this boy home. And I feel the same way about Joe.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I feel like there... And then when it comes out... And then, like, even if you ignore, like, Lincoln being an actual criminal, like, the amount... Like, ignore that for a second, which is hard. He had a pretty strong like opening at After the Final Rose
he did.
Too.
He did.
And then immediately he starts getting into drama. And then he's a fucking flat earther on top of that. And then you remember that he's a criminal.
A sexual like a sexual deviant.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, but like he's a shitty person and he just should be in jail.
And it's just that And then you have people who are still on this season, like Leo, who honestly has not gotten the screen time that I think he deserves.
Leo's a great boy.
And you've got Connor, who sucks. And you've got, like, Jason, who's done jack shit. Like, And then you've got like all of the boys are left are just drama, drama, drama.
Yeah. Other than Wills.
Other than Wills. But even Wills is like starting to dip his toe into that drama. I'm not saying he's not causing it, but he's a part of it.
Okay. Fair.
He's a part
fair.
Of it.
Fair, yeah. fair, fair.
Like everyone in this show, like this is the most dramatic season yet.
There's been a hell of a lot of drama.
Yeah. And it's
not always been good.
And it hasn't always been good. Like this season, like don't get me wrong, I love this show still, and I
we're not stopping.
I will watch Bachelor in Paradise. I'm gonna watch The Bachelor when it comes back in July.
No, guys, don't worry. We're
like,
complaining.
This podcast
now?
Isn't ending.
Yeah, we're complaining now because like we're allowed to.
There have been parts of this season that have been hard to watch.
Yes, yes, and that happens every season. I feel like
yeah,
but more so now, and with a lot of things going on in real life, like there always seems to be some bullshit. Contestant that makes it on this fucking show now that like that's like how is this person allowed to be
and not even just that like this show is meant to be fucking escapism for me
right like I don't want to have to deal with the fact that one guy is a registered sex offender
and I think that and I know this is something that gets tossed around a lot but like this show really needs to like get its shit together. Know?
It's 2018 Bachelor family of products. Figure your shit out.
Yeah. Like,
get your shit, get it together, and just fucking be better. All right, put all of it in a bag and get your shit together.
I'm looking forward to Bachelor in Paradise this year because I feel like we're at the very least gonna get the return of some favorites.
Yeah,
you know, we're gonna see Kendall again.
I hope we get Christina back.
Oh, Christina! I don't think she's been pretty active on the internet lately.
Oh, she's so beautiful too. Yeah. I love her. I just loved her so much. She was great.
Yeah. But like, I'm looking forward to Biff.
Love her too.
Oh yeah. how naive we were back then.
Seems like an age ago.
But like, I just
we
like,
were so young and
I'm looking forward to Biff because Biff is just fun.
Biff is fun.
And like last year got a little iffy, but. Like they managed to pull something decent out of it.
Yeah.
And this year, like I'm just hoping for fun. And like if Yuki's there, it's gonna be fun.
Absolutely. Do you think she's like gotten better at speaking English?
I hope so because like because I feel
like if you're gonna keep bringing her back to these shows, I'm not saying she has to assimilate into American culture. No, be who you are, live your best life.
But this woman does not speak English.
But the problem is that like it gets very playfully racist.
It does.
When she doesn't speak any English, and they kind of make fun of her, and it's shitty.
Yeah.
I would very much like to not see them make fun of an Asian person
yeah.
and treat her with the respect she deserves because she's a fucking person.
I would like, but it also makes me wonder if Ben Higgins is going to be on this, it's going to be bad.
I would love it if they're, because they're buddies.
Because they're friends. Like, they became very good friends. Like, at the, like, after the
he
final.
He gave her a rose.
Her a rose at one point because, yeah. like, he thought, like, she was definitely there to, like, find love. And, like, they were, like, sledding together. Like, they're not, like, sledding. He was pulling her on a sled.
And
they were just, like, running
time.
Around outside together.
And he was like, I'm just having
and
a great
so
time
cute.
With you.
Yeah. And, like, if anything, I'd like, I want Wells to be the bartender forever. But, like, also, like, what if Ben Higgins is also the bartender?
What if they're bartender
so,
bros?
Yeah. And, like, Yuki's also
bro-tenders.
There. Bro-tenders. Oh, God. How do we get that job?
How do we get that job? Hey, Alex Loud. Hey.
Hey, guys.
It has to be in unison, right?
Like, yeah.
Hey, Alex Valen. Hey. That was so good. Every time. Hey.
We're both
at the bar at the same time, rubbing different spots with a cloth.
Yep.
Just going, tell us about your troubles.
Hey, how you doing? We've never been on this show before.
We're going to double team these problems.
But we're both very friendly, very large men.
We run a podcast. We're very affable and we're very approachable.
We're very invested in,
very
all, of
invested
your
in all of your love lives. We want this to work.
Kendall, maybe don't listen to our podcast. It makes it sound like I'm obsessed with you.
Yeah. Yeah. We would be great bartenders at Bachelor in Paradise and in general.
Oh, God. Because
we are ridiculous people.
Yeah.
And it would make for great
television. And Bachelor in Paradise is a ridiculous show.
Yeah, it would make for great television.
God. Okay. You want to play the game?
I do want to play the game.
All right. Play the music.
Bam! on this one first because I'm still kind of toying with mine a little bit.
Okay.
Play of the game wise.
Okay.
I'm
all
not
right.
totally sure.
I am going to give my play of the game to Wills.
I.
For straight up counting down 2 minutes.
And hell for, yeah.
And for being like for being honestly, I think a like more
and
reasonable.
Chris is confronting him about that whole shit too. He's like, I did not do any of this. Chris
yeah.
starts kind of creating a
yeah.
like an image that Wills was being like an aggressive man, which Wills is African American. So there's a lot of problems
there's,
with that
there's
that
some
go
problems
along with it.
There.
And he just defends himself
yeah.
perfectly. And everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah,
Wills.
You're the shit.
Wills handled that situation.
A goddamn hero.
Perfectly, more than perfectly, because he handles it better than he had to.
Yeah.
And I
better than Chris deserved.
Better than Chris deserved. Better than anyone deserved, really.
And he's so
even
aware.
Even if it was like Garrett.
Of course
like,
he's not, aware of how he's perceived.
Yeah.
And knew exactly what he was doing because he's very smart, he's very cool under pressure, and he's a great fucking contestant.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't make it, I want him to be the Bachelor. He would be so
oh,
fucking
he'd be such a good,
good
Bachelor.
He'd be a fucking great Bachelor. Wills for fucking Bachelor in case he doesn't make it.
Or Joe.
Or just bring Joe back. Hey, I'm back.
I'm back.
I'm the Bachelor.
I got sent home week one. I don't know what's happening.
But you all liked me.
We're all, look, we moved Batch Mansion to Chicago. It's
Chicago,
in the back of my grocery store.
It's in the back
store.
Of my grocery store.
It's, we're going to have a lot of fun here, all right?
Well, look,
let's meet
all
some
you
women,
ladies.
Huh?
All you ladies are here. I'm here to meet yous.
Yeah.
That got a little too Italian.
The Bulls, right?
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor. My name's Joe, and I'm the
Bachelor. Oh, shit.
Hey, ABC, we just came up with a great marketing campaign.
The fucking pitch of a lifetime.
Can you just make Joe the Bachelor, and we'll give it to you.
The Bachelor.
Alan, your play of the game, please.
My play of the game. RIP this person, but I'm giving it to David. Because David was the first one up for the singing challenge.
John.
Not David. I said David. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
R.I.P. John.
John.
John
yep.
was the first one up to sing. And you know what? He just said, in classic John fashion, I'm just going to get up there and do it. And I'm going to go have a good time. And you know what? I was like, fuck yeah, John. You're fucking
yeah.
killing it. Way to go. Just like, way to like, because being the first one is even worse.
It's hard.
Because you have to set the, like, because A, you're setting like the whole tone. And everyone's watching you. You're the first one. So that's extra pressure.
Yeah.
And he just went,
it's
I'm going to do it. I'm
yeah.
just going to get up there and I'm going to have fun.
And he did a goddamn fine job.
He did a goddamn
job.
Fine job. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Hope to see you in later things. You are great, John.
I know we just did a great marketing bit for Joe being the Bachelor. What if John's the Bachelor?
He'd be a great Bachelor.
I feel like he'd be like, first, Asian Bachelor.
First Asian Bachelor.
Two, just great Bachelor, I
just
think.
Just great Bachelor.
Like, successful, like, actually, like, I feel like merits being, like, the Bachelor,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, no, John could be a good
Bachelor. John for Bachelor John, or Wills for Bachelor?
John could be a
or
really
Joe great
Bachelor.
For Bachelor.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Or Joe for
Da
Bachelor. I think that's the name of this episode.
Yep.
we're not doing it again.
Nope.
We've done it too many times.
Oh God. Oh. So let's wrap this boy up then.
I think so.
God. So hey guys, thanks for listening to Bros Before Rose. We're available on podcast apps. We're available on iTunes, Pocket Casts.
All the places you get those
the places
spicy
you
podcasts.
Get podcasts.
All those nice places.
I don't think we're on Spotify yet. I need to fix that.
That's coming.
I'm still sorting out some places since we moved hosts.
It's a process.
It's a process that I have not put enough time into.
Hey, we're busy boys.
We're busy boys.
It's good that we make sure to get this content out as soon as we can.
Yes,
mostly.
And we're sorry about last week. Like I had like we talked about this. I had a scheduling conflict, so I didn't even watch the episode until like Thursday.
Right. Yeah. But we're getting the hot spicy episode raw quick.
Yep.
This
will be up by like Tuesday afternoon.
Perfect.
I'll have this up as soon as I can. We're also available on Anchor, which is our gracious host.
They are lovely. We love them very much.
We love them
so
very
much.
Deeply. We can be reached on Anchor via voice messages, and if you play your cards right, that voice message could get played on the next episode of this podcast.
And will absolutely be met with lots of love and lots of kind words from me and Alex.
Even if it's openly hostile.
Even if it's openly hostile, we will love you.
Yeah.
Tell us, we just want to hear from you.
We just want to hear anything you want to tell us.
It's literally anything.
It's about The Bachelor, great. It's about your mother-in-law, also great.
If it's just like, hey, this is what I ate for dinner. Just
tell me all about it.
Tell me what happens. Are you getting that sweet, sweet umami flavor?
Are you getting that umami flavor?
Let me hear that hot goss about what you're eating.
Yeah, tell us what you had for dinner. Tell us where you're going to shop later. Tell us if you bought any, if you played any cool games, you read any good books.
Did you have a cheat day? Was it like a normal day at the gym? Was it leg day?
How many pancakes did you have at IHOP?
Oh my God, there's an IHOP down the street.
It's IHOP now.
It's IHOP now, that's right. Get it fucking right, everybody.
But yeah, just shoot us a message. Yeah, we'll play it on the podcast. It'll be fun.
Absolutely.
Just come on.
Especially you, Powerade.
Come on in. The water's warm. Not because we peed in it.
Just wait around. Room for one more.
There's room for another. Come on.
The sun's been out.
Yeah, Anchor's available on Google Play and iTunes. Oh, God. Was there more that we have to say?
No, Facebook. We're still on Facebook.
Facebook.com/RoseBeforeRoseCast. You can shoot us messages there, too. They won't be playing on the podcast because they're not in audio form.
But we damn sure will check them and talk about them.
Heck yeah.
You can also find us on our separate Twitter handles.
On our individual personal Twitter accounts. @OldManBeefy.
@BossMoss91. If people actually follow us and start interacting with us, I promise you those Twitters will be used a lot more.
My Twitter is almost exclusively used for following Bachelor contestants.
That's exactly what I use mine too, and for sports, but that's because I'm a sports boy.
Yeah, I follow a couple of Golden Knights.
Shut your mouth.
Cool. That's it for this episode.
I think so.
Cool. I'm Alex Toy.
I'm Alan Moss. And this has been the most dramatic episode yet.
Wow. That was pretty good.
Perfect.
We're getting there.
Wow. You know what? I'm not even mad.
Oh,
I'm not even mad. You did a great job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It's because I've got that brand new work ethic.
You got that. You know, that's right, you sweet working boy.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye. Channel.